This episode brought to you by the Stinking Cloud Spell. Because Wizards of the Coast isn't fooling anyone.
Welcome to Pork Fried Dice, a podcast in which a group of friends play Dungeons and Dragons together, facing the horrors of the fantasy world before them with unflinching solemnity and stoicism. Or not. Featuring Katie as Will, Greg as Lank, Jose as Gorin, Abby as Rafina, Alex as Batwack, and Eric as Nick and as Dungeon Master. Hold on to your haversacks. Let's roll. And then she sort of goes down the line. And she fixes each of you with a stare and says the following. She says, William Pumpkin, man of devotion and greed, warring within you. Lank Stumpers, dwarf of forgotten actions, stolen from you in the night. Nicholas Akinquichu, half-elf of lawfulness and rigidity, not to mention naivete. Gorin Falstaff, man of love, lost, stolen, occluded, transformed. And Seraphina Flangepot, halfling of pure intent, unwittingly led along. Would you like your fortunes read?
Holy crap, woman.
Oh, she's very good. You should let her do it. She's
yes. Yes, I do.
Lang glances at the rest of the party and then just sort of nods at her.
She gestures and she says, come closer. She keeps gesturing until you get pretty much right up.
We all run up and fall over.
it's just hands reaching for her at this point.
I'm elbowing your shins.
Like, oh. So you're setting the pup stomping us all down.
Everybody get able to get into roll 20?
I think so. Sorry, yeah.
It's still there. The next game is a month ago.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I can't click it. It doesn't say it's now.
If it's not accurate, I don't mess with it.
I can't. We're good.
Is it just like a gray or a velvet? Is that what that is?
Yep.
Velvet? Okay, cool. Oh, velvet because of the cloth. Oh, Eric. Cool.
I like how you didn't draw that and you just like know the look of velvet. Like, Katie,
yeah, I do.
You are so in tuned with velvet. Velvet's your spirit animal.
It's true. I really do love velvet. I really do, because I'm really weird. I'm from the 70s or something. The 60s?
Okay. So you all draw closer, and she pulls out from, seems like nowhere, a deck of cards. Looks a very worn, large, like bigger than typical playing cards in size. But probably the deck itself is probably thinner. She doesn't look up at all. She is basically just looking straight down at the table. She has her cards, and she kind of shuffles them, but it's like no kind of shuffling action you've ever seen. It's kind of like just flowing between her two hands, but you can tell they're getting mixed up. And sort of within that same motion, she pulls a card off of the deck and lays it on the velvet in front of you. And it has a number 3 on it, and looks like the symbol of what is a coin. You see what looks like a man yelling out. He's holding some papers. There's some livestock behind him, and it says the word traitor at the top and the bottom. And she says, "This card tells of history. Knowledge of the ancient will help you better understand your enemy. Look to the Wizard of Wines. In wood and sand the treasure hides." And then, without really even pausing, she lays out another card. As she lays it out, she says, "This card tells of a powerful force for good and protection, a holy symbol of great hope." And she lays out, this card has a number 2 with some sort of weird symbol where the coin was on the other card. It looks like maybe like a priest or someone religious. They're in like vestments. He's holding a book and it says missionary. And when she lays it out, she says, hold on a second. That's not the right card.
Oh no!
Prophecy is wrong! Just like the old gypsy woman said.
Alternative!
Alternative prophecies!
Alternative prophecies!
God damn it. I did these in the wrong fucking order.
Oh no! Oh no, really?
Yeah. Hold on.
Do over! God damn it!
Also, she swipes all the contents of the table off. Like, go back outside. Cards come off. Back inside.
She puts them all out, and Lank just goes, "I feel like I've seen this before."
Yeah.
All you do is you say, "Oh, I knew I was gonna do that."
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
She just points, just like finger guns. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. It's a gotcha prophecy.
Yeah.
Fake news.
Or it's like at the end of Clue. Oh, that's what may have happened, but here's what really happened.
Yes! Yes!
She says, "I'm gonna go home and sleep with my wife." Alright, so the first one was right, you fuckers.
Don't yell at us. You got the cards.
It's just the one I'll have to say again. You guys have to listen to it. Sorry.
That's fine. It's
we
totally
enjoy
fine.
Enjoy hearing your melodious tones.
Right.
This card tells of history.
Oh, the dulcet prophecy of Eric.
All right. It's just, "This card tells of history. Knowledge of the ancient will help you better understand your enemy." And she lays out, it has a 3, and it looks like a coin symbol. And it says the word traitor. And there's a man yelling. He's holding some papers with some livestock behind him. As she says, "Look to the Wizard of Wines. In wood and sand the treasure hides." And then, immediately above that, she lays out another card, and as she does, she says, "This card tells of a powerful force for good and protection, a holy symbol of great hope." And with that, she lays out, it has the number 7, and like a weird symbol, and it has a man with a hat with some feathers, and a mask that he's pulling away from his face, and it says charlatan, and he has a mustache, but it's not Will.
It is me, though. That's my character class, I think. I'm a charlatan.
Game over.
Yeah. There I am.
And as she lays it down, she says, "I see a lonely mill on a precipice. The treasure lies within." And then right after that, she goes right into... She says, "This is a card of power and strength," she says as she pulls another card off. "It tells of a weapon of vengeance, a sword of sunlight." She lays out this card. It has the number 2 and the same symbol as was on the last card, the charlatan card. This one says missionary, and it is a man, looks like you think might be a priest or, you know, with a name on it, probably a missionary. It's holding maybe a holy book. The book actually has the same symbol on it as is on the card in the previous card, and he's in some robes. And when she lays that out, she says, "I see a garden dusted with snow, watched over by a scarecrow with a sackcloth grin. Look not to the garden, but to the guardian. Then she lays out the next card and she says, this card tells of a treasure of bone, a source of power when returned to its resting place. And she lays out another card. This one is labeled Myrmidon. And it's a 5, and it has, where the symbol and the coin was on the other ones, 3 swords. And in the middle looks like some sort of warrior with a shield and helmet. You can't really see his features. And when she lays that down, she says, look for a den of wolves in the hills overlooking a mountain lake. The treasure belongs to Mother Night. And then she lays out another card. When she does, she says, this card leads the way to another symbol of good, the key to Petrovna's grave. And she lays out this card. It is labeled Torturer. It has a 9, and this one has the swords as the previous one did. And it has a man in it that looks like a torturer. He's wearing some leather armor. He's rotating a crank on what you think is probably maybe like a, you know, a rack or other torture device. There's a rope leading out of frame. And behind him are swords hanging on the wall. And when she lays that one on the velvet, she says, there is a town where all is not well. There you will find a house of corruption. And within, a dark room full of still ghosts. And at this, she kind of pauses and looks up at all of you just for a moment or two. And then she looks back down and pulls a card off and says, this card sheds light on one who will help you greatly in the battle against darkness. And this one's a little different than the others. It doesn't have a number. It just has a crown in each of the 4 corners. And it says mists. And the picture is of a graveyard filled with sort of a low-lying misty fog. And when she lays that one down, she says, a Vistana wanders this land alone, searching for her mentor. She does not stay in one place for long. Seek her out at St. Markovia's Abbey, near the mists. That one's kind of in the middle of the others, and then she takes a breath and then pulls another card off and says, your enemy is a creature of darkness whose powers are beyond mortality. This card will lead you to him. And she lays out below all the others. This one as well has crowns at each of the 4 corners like the previous one. This one says innocent, and it has a picture of a young lady dressed well, some finery, some nice something behind her, draperies or something, I don't know. And she lays that down. She says, he dwells with the one whose blood sealed his doom, a brother of light snuffed out too soon. And suddenly the deck she's holding is gone. You don't see it anymore. And she looks up at you, kind of expectantly.
Wow!
That was a lot. Did anyone write that down?
You look up and Nick has been scribbling furiously this whole time. Says, I did! Sounded important.
Well, that was fun. So, Madam Eva?
Yes?
Are we supposed to do something with that?
I think you'll find that information helpful. And Rafina, it is clear to me that I think that your destiny lies with these people.
Really? Aw, I like hanging out with you guys at this nice pool here.
I know, you've been very beneficial to us here too. But as I think you know, there's something greater awaiting you, and I don't think that you'll find it with us here anymore. I think you've been with us for this moment, for these people to come along.
Really? All right. Well, hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
So, I don't really know you, but I'm sure we'll get to know each other on the road. Sounds like we have a road ahead of us.
So many roads, apparently.
And Madame Eva clears her throat and she says, I will, if you wish, offer you one last thing. You may each ask me one yes or no question that I will answer to the best of my ability.
Can I bring my terrarium? No, just kidding.
Oh my god!
I want to know what more questions. No.
Yeah, right. Oh, how much time do we get? Holy moly!
I'm just gonna lean into Madame Eva. Is my way back to her with these people?
Is your way back to her with these people? She says very loudly. Yes.
Thorn sits back down.
Who's next?
You're the line leader, like the
alphabetical order.
Just get a little checklist.
Suddenly she turns, and you notice that Will's cat friend, the cat that seems to be following Will around, is over in the corner. And she looks over at the cat, and then she says, yes!
Oh my god. I feel like Will would waste this question and be like, did you just talk to my cat? I'm just kidding. Damn it! Oh, crap.
You would ask her that, but then you tackle her so she can't answer. It's like, that's not my question!
I break her little old lady bones and then she dies. Sorry, guys! It wasn't my question! Oh, God.
And no, you can't yes or no question for more yes or no questions.
Oh, this is hard.
Lank is really struggling to think how to, or what to ask in front of all these people.
Rufina is looking from face to face expectantly.
Will's face is just like this. So much pressure. I have so many questions. Oh my god, I'm sorry, Eric.
You don't have to be sorry, it's fine.
It's hard. Goran just has this one. He just is like, oh, my heart, my love, my girlfriend.
It's funny. I agree that it's hard because I just realized that I have to have a question for Nick, and I can't think of anything either.
Lang glances nervously at his companions and then walks up to the table and asks slowly, "Before I woke up here." Or before I woke up in that tunnel that I emerged out of the ground here, did I deserve to be in the place where I was before?
She looks up at you, and she says, yes!
Lank looks absolutely crestfallen and steps back.
Oh, I don't know what that means, but it sounds really sad.
I also think Madame Eva only says yes.
Madam Eva, do you ever say no?
She dies.
Yes. Okay.
Nick goes up and says, will I ever become warden of my valley? And she says, no.
She said,
oh no.
Don't worry, maybe you'll find a different valley to be warden of.
Aw, that's really nice.
We've got an avowed optimist in this group now.
Yes. Not just the pretend kind. Yeah.
Well, I've never played before.
No, it's perfect. It's, oh my god, it's so, we so need this. We so need somebody who will actually maybe negate Will's bullshit.
Oh, Will, do you want to ask your question or should I go first?
Madame Eva says yes.
Oh no!
Hey! Madame Eva!
I'm just kidding. I love you, Rafina. You can just ask you any question you want. We're best friends. I like your attitude.
I love her voice. I love it.
Will, like, gestures to Rafina, like, go ahead.
Madam Eva, this is very important. Will I have to face any turtles?
Lank looks up, absolutely dumbfounded that that's the question.
She looks at you, and it takes, like, it's a longer pause than any of the others, and she says, yes.
Oh,
crap.
I love that that's your question. Oh, God.
Everybody in this room is probably looking at you.
I know. He's like, maybe I shouldn't ask a question, but, yeah, I think he tries to go close and, like, say it quietly, knowing that she's probably going to yell like she did before. And he's going to be like, was that swirly cloud of horrible crap that is somehow tied to me telling the truth when he told me what he plans for me to do in this world?
What? Speak up!
No. You know you heard me. You heard me.
Huh?
You heard me.
Heard what?
You heard me. Oh, you. You heard me.
Heard what?
And he gets closer to her and he's like, was?
Was?
The?
The?
Was that swirling?
Was that swirling?
Misty figure.
Misty?
That
figure?
Is very. And he starts yelling
that
over
is Barry?
Her. No! He's like yelling to try to make it so it's hard to understand what's happening.
Uh-huh.
So was he telling the truth when he told me about my future, what he plans for me to be in this land?
Yes. Okay. You better get a move on.
Where? What? You talked to my cat.
Yeah, I talked to your cat. It's your brother.
Oh.
You better not forget him.
Oh, no.
Wow. Your cat is your brother? I've got a lot to learn.
He's like, and I think he turns around and busts out of the tent and flat, like, he's fighting with a flap, like, just trying to get out. And then gets out, yeah, for sure.
Nick would say, thank you. And he'd leave.
And then we all die right there.
All of us waiting for someone else to say something.
Oh no, I'm waiting for you guys to leave.
Lank looks around a bit and then follows Nick.
Well, I'm going to go get my satchel. And then I'm ready to go. Bye, Madam Eva. It's been real.
This has been real. You're right. I love that phrase, Rafina. I'm going to use that from now on.
I love that so much.
Madam Eva, if I may, just one last thing.
Yes?
Is she free?
She looks at you and she says, Gorin, I can only offer you so many answers, but I will say this, and I think this is as close to the truth as you'll find, at least here and now. Life is sometimes a mirror. And I know that sounds like old mystical old lady hokum bullshit, but that's about as much as I can see and say. I see a lot of reflection in you, and not the introspective kind. Literal reflection.
Thank you, Madam Eva. And he'll tap the table. It's been real.
She nods and says, it's been real.
That's the title of that episode for me. It's been real. Oh, I love it. Oh my god. Right.
So you leave the tent, and Rufina goes off to get her bag. The Vistani are still around the campfire. As much as you can tell in terms of when it is, still probably relatively early in the day, early afternoon. And Irina would kind of look at you all and say, That was something. You're a bunch of... You're a bunch...
Of what? Of what? What are we?
A bunch of short, dwarfed, ugly, mustached...
Mustachioed.
Yeah.
Ugly mustachioed.
I am none of those things. Lank, hold me back.
Lank quickly ties your shoelaces together. It's like, I can't do much more than that.
Can't do much more than that. Meanwhile, I held on to a vampire spawn for 20 hours.
Yeah.
Well.
With this woman.
To be fair, that kid hadn't eaten in like, what? A year.
That's amazing.
And Irina would say, kind of quietly away from any of the other regular people in the camp, the inhabitants of the camp, she would say, I don't know that I feel too comfortable here. I've heard various tales of the Vistani and their, to be honest, somewhat, I don't know. Some of them are not exactly scrupulous. Let me just put it that way.
Do you think we can make it to Valaki by night?
No, I don't think so. But I don't know that we'll benefit from staying here. I think we should try to push on and get as far as we can.
Agreed.
All right. So Rufina is able to gather her things. She's got her bag and her terrarium on a little wagon behind her.
Oh my god, I love it so much. No, that's amazing.
And you head, I guess, back up the road. If you remember, the footpath continued past the camp, but Irina starts heading back towards the crossroads, unless any of you have any other ideas.
Irina, are you sure that's the quickest way? Do you think maybe this footpath could lead me, or do you want to just go back the way we came?
I honestly don't know. I've never been down this road. I know that the other road, the main road, does in fact lead, you know, the way to Valaki. And you're heading out. There's a Vistana that comes out of a tent and overhears. And he says, "No, that just goes back to the bottom of the falls. You're not gonna get anywhere that way. It's just kind of a dead end. It ends up down there. The road's way up there when you're down there."
Is there anything special about the falls or the pool? There's a reason that it's here with labeled. Is it something special?
It's just big. It's big enough to get a name. It's how things go. If you know what I mean. Big enough to get a name.
Right. Yep. Totally know.
And he looks down. He looks up. He says, "Toby."
Lank says, "I thought you said only big things got names." I was in that big tent. I've seen things I wish I could unsee.
You mentioned the big tent. He looks at you wide-eyed and kind of backs away towards the fire.
Hmm. All right.
Well, Nick would say, "Well, I guess back the way we came it is."
Yeah, I mean, we gotta go find our way back to her. That's what Will says. In like,
look at Will and go, "No, I have to find my way back to her."
Oh, I know.
But you have promises to keep to a weird miss thing.
Yeah, but we're all together. You gotta be with us.
You never said for how long.
Yeah, but when are you gonna give us up? We'll never find her. Woo!
Doris is just going to keep walking. Actually, he's going to pull out his flute and start playing.
You ain't stopping him today.
Rafita sings along.
Ooh. Ooh.
I like that.
Oh, yay. Aw. She jumps up on Lank's shoulders, and together they're like one person height.
Lank, finally someone shorter than you. All right, and with this tune, everybody can't help but step two. You make your way rather quickly back up the path, which turns into the road, and you're back at the crossroads. If you're curious, which you might be, the gallows is still there, but there's no body there. There's just the frayed rope that you remember from before.
Ugh. I'm afraid not. No, just kidding.
Yes! She fits right in!
Totally my favorite joke ever.
Okay. Will, like, keeps his eye on it, like, walks sideways and, like, backs away for a while until he's a safe distance and just then turns around. He definitely does not want anything to pop up on that gallows this time.
Yeah, same.
Bernard says in your head, I don't see you anymore.
I don't either. Thank you, cat brother. You really... What? Hey, I want to know what you asked. Or she... Wait, you asked her a question. Bernard, is that really you? And did you ask her a question?
Yes, it's me, and yes, I did.
What did you ask?
I asked if I would... And he kind of stops, and he says... I asked if I would be able to protect you.
Oh.
Aww. Meow.
Well, I mean, you're a cat. Do you have any cat power? Like, is there something?
I don't think that I need to just be a cat. I feel like I don't. We'll have to figure that out, I think.
Right. But you asked if you could protect me?
Yeah.
That actually Will is like actually for 1 second. And actually probably more for more than 1 second. He's like walking along kind of like with a tremble in his lip like.
Why don't you roll a percentile, Will?
Oh, okay. Percentile.
Percentile.
All right.
You sort of feel this emotion well up, and you feel the locket get a little warm.
Oh, okay. 35.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, Bernard is not a cat anymore. He's an iguana.
Oh, no! What?
That seems less helpful.
Yeah. That iguana can't keep up. Oh, crap.
But more interesting.
Right.
Put him on your shoulder.
I know, I'm gonna have to. I mean, like, I think he looks at, like, he stops. If everyone else just keeps walking, he's gonna stop and be like talking to this iguana, like, what are you doing?
What are you? Oh. And you see the iguana kind of look around. I guess I'm this now.
No, this is not helpful. You are eating, you eat plants. Right?
Yeah?
Some kind of lizard. I mean.
I don't think I need to eat, but. Yeah, I'm a lizard.
But, like, you, what are you gonna do? Like, you have.
I don't know! I didn't want to be a lizard!
How do I change you? This is impossible!
I don't know! But these are really short legs! Pick me up!
Oh, no. No.
They're going!
Everybody's gonna know! No.
Careful not to pull off his tail!
The party's.
Rafina's just looking back already. Hey! Come on, pick up your lizard! Careful not to pull off his tail!
Put him in my terrarium!
I brought it along just in case something like this happens.
Just like the old gypsy woman said.
And you hear a wolf howl somewhat in the distance.
Oh,
but not too far.
Okay, he scoops him up and he puts him on his shoulder and starts jogging to keep up, but still tries to remain behind them, so hopefully nobody turns around while he deals with this new pet he has.
All right. And you keep on down the road, and eventually it kind of gets a little bit higher. You're kind of gaining elevation as you're going along. Once you get past the crossroads on the main road, you know, take the path that is marked Ravenloft/Valaki. You eventually get to another crossroads, not really a crossroads, more like there's like a sort of a spur leading off to the side. I guess kind of like the crossroads before, but this one is definitely, it's a specific type of road, and the main road leads off the way you were going. The road to the east, there's, you can see kind of patches of cobblestone more than this dirt road, so it seems like it was at once sort of a, you know, more defined thoroughfare. You see a sign. This is a very ornate sign. It's a dark, almost black wood, and etched into it is the words. It says Castle Ravenloft.
Hmm.
Let's not go that way, guys.
No.
Yeah.
What's over there?
Nothing for you to see, dear.
And Nick would say, that's, well, I guess that's where, I don't know what you know, or if you're, I don't know anything about you, but if that doesn't sound familiar, maybe you don't know much. The ruler of this land is a vampire by the name of Strahd von Zarovich, and apparently that's where he lives.
Vistani did mention something about that. It all sounds familiar now.
Yeah, he killed one of the people we were with, and had another one carried off by a large swarm of bats, as unbelievable as that sounds.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Where did he go?
You want to take this one, guys? Finish off the what happened at the end of that? I've said enough unbelievable shit. She's gonna think I'm crazy.
Yada yada yada, we met you.
Sure, I'll get it in dribs and drabs.
Yeah, he turned into a cloud of mist and floated away. There, I said it. All right, back me up, please.
I totally believe you.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So you continue on down the road. Like I said, you're sort of gaining elevation. You're kind of basically clinging to the side of a mountain eventually. And in the distance, you hear something ahead, basically, on the road. It sounds like maybe yelling or fighting or something. You can't really make it out. And eventually, before you, sort of the forest opens up, and you see this arching bridge of a stone sort of covered with, like, mold and lichen and things like that, spanning this huge chasm. There's gargoyles, at least on this corner, you can see perched on each side of the walls of the bridge. They're kind of weather-worn. You can't really make out too much of their features, though they don't seem to be happy. You know that. On the mountainous side of the bridge, which is to your left, there's this huge waterfall that spills into a pool basically almost 1,000 feet below, so you are way up here. And if you look at the pool, seems to feed a river that meanders off into the pines, which you would assume, based on what you were told, that would actually end up leading down to the Zur pool. But most interesting is before you see what looks like sort of a humanoid with like a dragon head in armor in the middle of a fight with what you guys recognize as zombies, and describe what exactly it is they see unfold before them.
You see a creature locked in battle with the remnants of this horde of zombies. In one hand, he's holding a long sword that glows radiantly with a bright green light, the color of a severe lightning storm. And surrounding him is this shimmering green aura. He crouches momentarily behind this massive brown shield, and you hear harsh utterances coming from behind the shield. But in that instant, you're reminded vaguely of some kind of reptile. But the image is shattered by the creature's startling leap. And he drives his shield into the mass and swings the glowing longsword simultaneously. Zombies pour off the sides of the bridge. And the front rank of zombies violently combusts as the sword passes through their bodies. The draconic creature roars and charges the remaining horde, scaling a burning pile of remains, and carves a path to the last clot of zombies. From atop the squelching mass, the creature fluidly draws a javelin from his back and hurls it into the final approaching column. The javelin skewers them and embeds into the bridge, pinning them. And then the creature seems to exhale and slowly places his shield back on his back and approaches the column, which is still writhing, and smoothly beheads the lot with his longsword. And then he slowly turns to face you. Perhaps it's his large brown mosaic shield that's stowed on his back. Or maybe it's his rounded head with its diminutive frills. But something about this guy just screams turtle. Intimidating. The shield bears a dragon in profile. He wears a chain visibly around his neck and a suit of chainmail. And he approaches and extends an arm in greeting. And again, in slow, deliberate speech. Greetings. I'm Bathwack Medrak, and the good among you have nothing to fear.
Uh-oh. Will ducks behind whoever is available.
Go completely flat on the ground and try to get behind Lank.
Yeah.
Nick says, wow. And he runs up and holds out his hand to shake and says, hi, I'm Nick. That was incredible.
Pleasure to meet you.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
What brings you all to this clearly evil place?
You guys. Is that a shell on his back?
Did you say shield? Yeah, yes, it's a shield.
No, but his nose kind of makes like a beak. What? look at his nostrils. Oh, can I just hide behind you? I would feel safer if I were not directly in line with this guy. Yeah, thank you.
Bathwack's face is blank, but he doesn't really have any idea what you're talking about.
We've sort of... It's a long story, I'll say that, but we find ourselves together. We're making our way to the town of Valaki, which is further down this road. I don't know from where you hail, but we're escorting Irina here. She is in some peril from a great evil force. And we are escorting her to safety, which we hope we will find in said town of Valaki.
Wow, that's more than I found out. Do you have to look like a turtle to get any information around here?
Oh yeah, we never told her about that. You were just so pumped to join us, we didn't even think we needed any explanation.
An old lady tells you to go with some people, you go. Why not? Why don't we have to explain anything?
Yeah, sorry. Right, but yeah, that's good, good. See, good mission, good group. That's what Will says. All good here.
Lank looks back at Will, laying it on a little thick there, buddy.
Nope. Goodly thick, thickly good. Good thick layer of good.
You hear in your head, yeah, I'm kind of with Lank here on this one.
Shut up, Bernard. Shut up, iguana. Shut up.
He poops down your back.
Of course he does.
You'll find that out later.
So I waded into the depths of some evil mist-filled forest, and scouring this place clean of evil seems to be beyond me, but it's a challenge I'd gladly accept.
Well, hopefully you're super duper duper powerful, because there are a lot of bad things in this area.
There are?
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, no. Rafina, where have you been? Have you just been living with the Vistani and has nothing happened to them?
Yeah. I mean, I was... You know, I'll tell you sometime about my boat company, but I've got a long history of just, you know, bumming around these parts. I'm old compared to youngins. But I guess I've got a lot to learn.
Yeah, there's lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But was it Bathwack?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, I mean, I'd say it generally... kind of speaking for all of us here, and he looks sidelong at Will. We're all, I think in general, I think the goal would be to eliminate evil in these parts. There is a specific evil entity that we've had an encounter with, and I don't know that we can leave here without dealing with that. So I think you might have similar goals of ours. And his voice is kind of getting a little overeager at this point. He's like, all of us, you and the rest of us would be a great team.
Wait, what? Rafina is not so sure of this.
You said that to leave here, we have to eliminate this evil. Where is here? What do you mean?
Oh, well, he gestures around. This valley, the land of what a lot of people here seem to refer to as the Devil Strahd. We've known him as Strahd von Zarovich. He is a vampire who this seems to be his dominion. And some of us were brought here magically, it seems. Others from underground. Rafina, I'm not sure how you got here. I personally, I don't think I would feel good leaving here without having at least made some efforts to free the land from this thing. Though it's other signs, at least from what he said, seems like I don't know that we would be able to. Though we haven't really tested that theory.
Hmm.
Did you all wander into the mists as well? They're impenetrable, as far as I can tell.
You have a thesaurus up there?
Yeah, I guess that's probably out of character, right? Bethwack's not that smart.
Hey, you have a word of the day calendar. You're working on it. You're working on it.
I only described the front of the shield. You don't see all the post-it notes on the back.
Oh my god. Yeah, we didn't wander. We were brought here by a carriage. We came in a carriage, but you know, not like we wanted to come here, just we were in a carriage, and then they just kind of came here and we were like, hey. I mean, and none of us knew each other.
Good description there, Will.
I'm tired. But you know, we just ran.
We were like, hey, now well, you know everything.
But that's kind of what happened. I mean, that guy burst out of the ground, but me and Nick came in carriages, and Gorin, we met him. He was throwing stuff off a roof, throwing fire bottles off a roof at Strahd. So he's good. Don't worry. I mean, maybe. To be honest, I don't know. He's looking for her. Ooh. He holds up his fingers like that.
You're awful mouthy about my future, considering how... Hey, Backrack, was it? How do you feel about weird demon spirits?
Weird
and
is probably
gonna point
okay.
At Will.
Evil? Evil? No.
He's going to point
Will,
at
Will, what do you think about that?
I don't know. What should I think about that?
I'll stay mum if you stay mum.
I think I'm just going to turn and stare at Will for a moment.
He's going to wave at you. Hey.
The iguana on his shoulder waves too.
Right.
Okay, well, Nick looks up. I think we're running out of daylight here. I think we should press on. Bathwack, would you... I don't know where you're coming from or where you're going. I mean, next time, all I can offer is next time... Horde of zombies comes along, you wouldn't have to fight them off alone, though you kind of handled that pretty well, it seemed.
Don't you think maybe he brought those zombies upon himself? Are we sure we want him around?
Hey, victim blaming!
Don't zombie shame the turtle.
Are we sure the zombies were actually bad? They might have just been asking for a drink of water. We should really investigate this a little more carefully.
You know what, Rafina? I am so with you. I am absolutely agreeing with what you say.
I mean, he's got like this hard shell thing on the back. I'm not a one of
them. You can take it up with them, and I'll gesture with one arm toward the smoking pile of zombies.
Since you guys are funny, I don't get the joke, though. What are you talking about?
No. She's just she thinks that he's a turtle, but I don't think he's a turtle. He's like he's one of those dragon. You know, I knew some of those guys. You're a dragon guy.
Dragonborn.
That's what he is. He's not a turtle. But you're right. I mean, maybe those zombies were really nice zombies. So we never can be too sure what we see, guys, right? I mean, that's the point, is what I'm trying to make. When you see something, might not necessarily, can't always believe what you just see.
I think these cranial protuberances over his eyes, I just don't like, it's turtly.
So would you be on the zombie's side if he didn't look like a turtle?
I just like to keep an open mind.
Why does everyone keep talking about turtles?
Lang turns to him. I don't know. They brought it up earlier in the big tent.
They. I started talking about turtles too in the tent.
All of us did. It was a 20-minute discussion.
You kind of look like a turtle. That's what she's saying. You kind of look like a turtle. It's true.
That's rude.
What? It is.
He's gonna like spray us or something.
Wait, Rafina, I don't think turtles spray anything, but.
Are you a turtleologist? How would you know?
But I don't know. I've never heard of turtle spraying. I mean, I guess I don't know. I guess I'm from a city, so I'm not really big into turtle. You know what? Maybe he's a spraying turtle. Are you a turtle? How about we just say it? Just say it. Are you a turtle?
Can you ask your iguana friend? Because he may have some sort of insight into the animal kingdom here.
Well, I don't think he would really. And he looks at the Bernard, and he's like, I don't think he would really know anything about turtles more than me.
Will, how about you ask me?
Oh, do you know?
And then I will answer.
I will leave it to the discretion of your brother, since he is an animal as well.
Ask me, Will. You hear in your head, ask me, Will.
What's the question? Is he a spraying turtle?
Do turtles spray? There's a lot of things up in the air right now.
Yes or no.
Not unlike Madam Eva, these all have to be yes or no.
I guess for me, the question is whether or not we're letting this sort of creepily turtle-resembly creature thing go with us.
Oh, well, I don't know if Bernard would know. I mean...
Just ask him!
Oh, Bernard!
The iguana looks at you.
Is he a turtle? I don't know why I'm not asking you.
You're talking about this. I'm going to point to the dragon on the front of my shield. This is a dragon.
No, you! We're talking about you, sir.
She's scared of turtles, and she thinks you look like a turtle, Nick says.
Right. Right.
He's gonna bite me?
She's not gonna bite you.
Dude, are you a turtle?
So, Bathwack smiles, or attempts to reach out and shake Rafina's hand, but the smile looks a bit toothy.
Well, turtles don't have teeth, so there you go.
Yeah, right.
Look at how cute that smile is. Turtles don't have teeth. I don't think Lang would know that. Lang would not know that.
Carnivorous turtle!
I think we'll take this one slow. Bathwack, if you do come with us, how about you guys, we'll just keep a buffer.
Right.
Rafina, would that be okay?
Put some warm
bodies in between you and your perceived turtle threat?
I am nothing if not open-minded. Absolutely.
I agree to take this slow. I usually prefer to let beings fight their own battles, but I have nothing better to do right now.
I'll take it.
Nick likes you, Bathwack.
This guy's cool, guys.
Gorin's going to say in Draconic, welcome to the group.
Whoa!
Lang's going to say, bless you.
Indraconic, I'll reply, thank you.
The cold is catching.
Yeah, Glenn takes a step back. Oh, must be going around. Bless you, too.
And I think that's where we'll end it.
Yay! Oh my gosh. Wow.
Well, it's been fun. Real. It's been real.
It's been real.
Nice try.
Yeah.
It's been just too much fun for it to be real for Greg. More fun.
Has it been real? It's been fun. It's been unreal.
It's been, yeah.
Thanks for listening. Please leave us a review on iTunes and visit porkfrieddice.com to find links to us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to join us next week to find out what happens to your favorite adventurers as they muddle their way through our demented mindscapes.